Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Amen.
Amen.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among the nation for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers.
Amen.
Amen. Precious Lord, I just thank you this morning. Thank you like Paul. Thank you. Paul said, I thank my God through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank you for John 3:16. And we thank you for your Son. In this Thanksgiving season, Father God, we just want to thank you for being such a good God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 I thank my God. Paul says, I thank my God. In verse number 8, he said, first, I thank my God. First. That's good, Matthew. First. We're in that time of year when we'll gather around the tables, many of our families, we'll gather around in the prayer circles, and it's Thanksgiving, and it's that season, and we'll hold hands, and we'll go around the room, and we'll ask folks, what are they thankful for? And the average person who don't know the Lord, and many folks who say they do, will thank God for good things now. I don't want you to think it's bad things. Thank God for my family. Thank God for my mom and my dad and my children and my home and my health. And you hear all those wonderful, wonderful things. And they are wonderful. And I've said them too. I thank God for my wife and I thank God for my children and things like that. But Paul said something that was unique. When he gave thanks, when you were having Thanksgiving with Paul, it might have been different, and I think it should be different for us. I really do, and I think it should be really different for us as believers. Paul said here in verse number 8, first, and just to hear the word first, you know Paul put nothing first. He put nothing ahead of his praise and worship of God.
Amen.
He put nothing ahead. He didn't put his family ahead or his job or his children or his health or anything.
Amen.
Paul said, first,
Amen.
I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. What's he saying? I thank God for Jesus Christ dying on Calvary's cross for my sins.
Amen.
Paul As we're going to look today, Paul thanked God for salvation. Think about this when you're doing your Thanksgiving Day prayer and you're talking to folks and they'll say, well, what are you thankful for?
Amen.
Think about what your answer should be.
Amen.
Especially if you're talking to someone who don't know the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Your answer ought to be, I thank God first through Jesus Christ who died on Calvary to save me. Paul had a bold faith. He had a bold declaration of his relationship with God. And it's subtle today. And in that sense, don't hear folks boasting about their relationship with the Lord. I think that's something we ought to brag about. I hear people boast about certain things. They get a high school degree or they graduate, or you know, they get a promotion on their job. You know, you hear them brag about it. You hear them talk about it. You know, I got a promotion. I just graduated. I'm getting my master's degree. I got a doctorate degree. You hear them boast about it. Or my child's getting married, or I'm having a granddaughter. Sometimes that's not something to boast about anymore. You know? I had to look back there and look at Paula. Well, you understand what I'm saying. But what is the greatest thing we ought to boast about?
Amen.
Think about it. First, our relationship with God. Paul had a relationship with a lot of churches. He planted a lot of churches. And when he went to those churches, he boasted mainly about their relationship with God. He thanked God for them. He went to the Philippian church. Now, Philippian church was a church he loved. He loved the Philippian church. But the only reason he loved them because what God had done. They was a church full of joy, full of the grace of God, full of the mercy of God, and full of friendships and fellowship. And Paul, when he thought about the Philippian church, in Philippians 1 and 3, said, I thank my God upon what? Every remembrance of you. Paul was bold in his declaration. And the question is, how bold are we? How bold will we be this Thanksgiving? Folks want to see it. Tell me you're a Christian. Let an athlete come to your house. Let one of your nephews or grandchildren that play football come to your home over the holidays, and you're going to boast about them. Oh, he's playing football. Look at him. He's good. And you're going to boast about him. We have a lot of things we boast about. But as believers, first, we ought to boast about our relationship with God. We ought to declare it boldly. And this is what Paul is saying in Romans 1 and 8. He says that your faith has been proclaimed throughout the land. Folks knew about this Roman church. And this was a church that was in Rome and was suffering. See, God's looking for real Christians. Real Christians that's not ashamed. Paul was one of those ones that would write in Romans 1. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why, Paul? For it is the power of God unto salvation. If you're saved, you ought to want everybody you know saved. If you know the Lord, you ought to want all your loved ones to know the Lord. You ought to want everybody at Walmart to know the Lord. You ought to want everybody at the school to know the Lord. And you know what? Preacher said years ago, revival will start with one person. Not going to start with 50. It's not going to start with 100. You could be that one. You could be that one. I hear people say, oh, the world's going crazy. Folks going mass shootings. Cops getting killed over here. Kids getting killed. Listen, start a revival. Start a revival. You don't know who you may be talking to. You don't know who may take that message that you give them and run with it.
Amen.
Run with it. Here's Paul thanking God for the real Christians at Colossians. These folks talked about Jesus. When the last time you had a real conversation about Jesus with a stranger, with somebody you just met? A lot of times we like fighters, we just fill each other out. Tell them who you are. Tell them who you are. Amen. Here's Paul. Again, in Colossians 1:1-3, Paul said, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Why, Paul? "Since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love that you have for the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth in the gospel." Paul always boasted about folks who had a strong declaration, a strong proclamation about who Jesus was. How's your proclamation? Are you a herald? So we got a lot of, I don't know what we call them. Let's see. Anybody ever know Michael Jackson doing the moonwalk? So we had a lot of Christians, moonwalking Christians. You don't know what it means, the moonwalk? When he was moonwalking, it looked like he was going forward, but really he was going backwards. See, a lot of Christians are like moonwalking. They look like he's moving forward, but he's really going backwards. Seriously. Are you giving thanks to God? How about this one? Here's Paul again in Romans. And this is a song they used to sing. "Oh, wretched man. Oh, wretched man that I am." He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." That's Paul. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And we've all sung that song. "Oh, wretched man that I am. For that which my flesh does, my spirit does not approve or think well of." How many been there? "For what my spirit would do, my flesh will not do. But what my spirit hates, my flesh does." Paul said, "Oh, wretched man." Think about it. This holiday season, how many folks you going to meet that's going to be singing that song? They're going to be singing that song. And they may not sing it like that, "Oh, wretched man that I am." But when you listen to them, and I listen to people in and out of relationships, drinking, gambling, partying, looking for love in all the wrong places, singing that song, "Oh, wretched man that I am." But you know what? Paul says, "I thank God for the deliverance." How many ever going to think about that when you're standing around holding hands with your family? How many have ever thought to say, "You know what? I thank God for delivering me from the clutches of death. I was on my way to hell." Imagine he saying this at Thanksgiving Day dinner. All your unsaved family members. And God delivered me when I was sinking deep in sin, lost, far from the peaceful shore. God delivered me. That's what Paul says. Paul says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." For what, Paul? For what? "For delivering me." Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" How many know before we got saved? And if you're not saved, your body is a body of death. It's death. What do you mean, Pastor? It's a body waiting and designed for hell. And you're just living out all your hellish deeds until you end up in hell. And Paul knew that, and he was singing it. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Yeah. That's what lost folks are singing to you. When you had a conversation with lost folks and they sit here and they talking about, you'll meet them at the mall and they tell you they're going through, oh, I'm struggling, I'm going through. You need to tell them you need a deliverer. You need to be delivered. You need what I have if you have anything. Okay? If you don't have any, if you haven't been delivered, you really can't deliver no one. Okay? Paul says this, we close with Romans 7:25. He's going to thank God again. This is a Thanksgiving Day message. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul said, you know what? You're going to struggle in this world. But you know what? The victorious Christian is thankful that God has delivered him. Because there was a time we were all sold under sin. Sold under sin. Enslaved to it. Enslaved to it. Like a slave bought with money. We had to do whatever our sinful body said do. But we wouldn't deliver. And that's something to be thankful for. That's something to be thankful for. You know another person Paul was thankful for? I like this one here. Paul thanked God for people that were filled with the grace of God. We've been talking about grace this morning. But grace is really not only favor, but grace is power. Okay? For by grace are you saved. Okay? So grace-filled people are powerful people. Grace-filled people have the power to do some things that a person that doesn't have grace can't do. And Paul was thankful. When he looked at the church and he thought about the people in the church, he said, I thank God always on your behalf. Why, Paul? For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. What church is he talking to? He's talking to the Colossian church again. He said, I thank God for you. That God has given you grace. What are you going to do with your grace? What are you going to do with your grace? God is offering all of us in here today grace. What are we going to do with grace? What are we going to do with it? Grace is power. Grace is an action word. And when we receive the grace of God, we can do some great things. Many of us here, we've been saved and born again, and we have the grace of God. We understand Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not unto yourself, it's the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast, but we miss verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created unto good works, which were ordained, preordained that we should do them. God's not saved anybody to do nothing. Okay? God hasn't saved a soul for no reason at all. If you saved and God's not doing nothing with you, then you really need to be here next Sunday or the first Sunday when we do our examination. Amen. To see if you're in the faith. Because God hasn't saved any of us to do nothing. Okay? And somebody says, well, you know, there's not a whole lot I can do. There's a ministry of presence. There's ministries of giving. There's just some ministries that you have to examine and ask God, show me why you saved me. Help me, because I don't want to be useless. Amen. And we got enough useless saints. Why did God save you? That'd be a question. God, why did you save me? I have to ask that question. God, why did you save me? Why did you fill me with your grace? Why did you fill me with your mercy? David, that great king, would fall right under one of Paul's teachings. David, in Psalms 122, we know the verse, he said, I was glad. When they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Paul thanked God. And think about all this when you sit around with your family and they ask you what you're thankful for. Paul was thankful for a church that he could go and fellowship in. That he could fellowship with the people, where he could have communion, where he shared, where he learned, where he was growing. Paul was glad. He was glad. And he says to the Philippian church again, he said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Why, Paul? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. I just believe saved folks ought to just run to the house of God. But then I'm reminded, the word of God says it's a narrow road that leads to heaven. We talk about reverence in the church today, in Sunday school today. Reverence, the reverence is designed to keep people away that wasn't right. And we take the reverence down and we want everybody to come that ain't right. We have to be careful with that.
Amen.
David says it in Psalms 55:14. He said, we took sweet counsel together and walked together into the house of God in company. It ought to be somewhere we're happy to go to. We ought to be giddy. We ought to be giddy on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Seriously. I was so excited to get up this morning, take a shower, shave and everything, get ready to go to church. I can't wait to get here. I wish I could get here early. I try to get here by 8 o'clock and just sit in the sanctuary and sit in my office and just walk around the church. Happy to be here. Seeing I'm away from all the craziness of the world. Are you happy to be here? Take everything I could to get here this morning. Ask God to give you strength. Ask God to give you energy. Empower me. Empower me for service. I should be doing something. I ought to be doing something. I can be doing more. Come up with a ministry. Just talking about putting a Christmas party together. That's a little get together. No volunteers. Nobody interested. So sad. So sad. I wonder what David, King David, would have. They had a nice little party at the church. He said, I was glad. And they said, let's go to the house of God. Amen. A little something, something. We just want to run into a little adversity. Grace runs out of us, mercy runs out of us. Love, we don't want to do nothing. It's just do nothing. Here's Paul again. Thanking God. That's all Paul did. You go into the Word of God and you'll find this whole sermon. And all you got to do is I thank God. Just Google, I thank God in the Bible. And there's so many verses. That's all Paul did. He thanked God. Paul thanked God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, here's Paul. And we know his story. He was a chief of sinners. He was chief of sinners. Now we talk about Paul being chief of sinners. But what Paul got, we get. Paul had nothing different. He didn't get a different kind of faith. He didn't get a different kind of blood saved him. The same blood.
Amen.
The same blood that rose Jesus, that Jesus rose with, the same blood he died with, the same blood as we saved with, Paul was saved with.
Amen.
Peter said it was precious blood. Still precious. Paul says, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. There you go. That's all he did. All he did is, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. When was the last time you really thanked Jesus for anything? So we can't even get our kids to say, thank you for
Anything we give him, he has to remind him. Did you say thank you? Did you say thank you? Maybe we have to tell him so many times because we don't say thank you. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, Paul says, who have enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Enable me. Empower me. Okay? Now let me tell you all something. If you save, you got power. Because it took power to save you. Okay? If you saved, you have power. Okay? Don't be like the man. Somebody gave him a car, and he pushing the car down the highway. And the man stopped and said, "Would you run out of gas?" He said, "No, I got a full tank of gas." He said, "Why are you pushing it?" He said, "Ain't that what you're supposed to do?" He didn't know. And a lot of us, is we have this power, and we don't use it. The man showed him. He got in the car, started the key, and said, "Look at that run, purr like an engine. Let that engine run. Let him get in and ride it." And we don't ride it. We don't do nothing. We don't know what we can do. But when last time you asked? Was it even up for debate? I need to do something. Paul said, I was enabled to do what? He was enabled to preach. He was enabled to preach. You may be enabled to teach, to write, whatever. Somebody may be tired. Maybe the secretary or the clerk, "Hey, you need a break? I need something to do. Take a break. I'll take over for a while." These guys can't sing.
Amen. Amen.
They see a need. They see a need and they step up.
Amen.
Y'all, ain't nobody, y'all wouldn't want to invite them over to sing. That's not a quartet. That's not the cathedrals or the Gaither Brothers. God has enabled you. I know he has. I watch you guys. Gave you strength. Bear your brother. Strength to bear your mother, your sister, your auntie, your husband. Some of you bear good friends. And God stood by you. And that's what Paul said. When he said, when all men left me, God stood with me. And he thanked God for that. Have you? Have you thought, thank God for getting you through? For strengthening you. Getting you through the valleys of life. Satan's gonna get at you. He at you now. I said this morning. We all testify what we've been through. Nobody testifies what they're going through right now. Nobody, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Old dried up testimonies. What's he dealing with? How's he dealing with you right now? Amen. You got a testimony right now. God has strengthened me. Go through what I'm going through with this husband of mine, with these children of mine. These grandbabies of mine, with this family of mine. I mean, this wife of mine. It's all there.
Yeah.
And God has empowered us. Let me read this scripture. For Paul, it was teaching. For you, it may just be a light. Just being a great grandmother. Some of you need strength to be a good wife. Claire needs strength. That's to do what she's doing with her husband. She needs strength, and Kenny needed strength to deal with what he's doing, what he had to deal with Teddy.
Amen. Amen.
Have we stopped and thought and to thank God? Thank you for the strength.
Yes, Lord.
Maybe he'll give us some more if we thank him for what we've already got. Nobody like giving nobody nothing if you don't say thank you. You need some strength. Right now, you need some strength. I feel like I'm wearing out. Well, say thank you for the strength that you already used. Maybe he'll fill you back up. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 4:16. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. You're going to know the Lord stood with you. I know. I've seen the Lord standing with some of y'all. And strengthened me. And strengthened me. You know what Paul says? And I thank God. I thank God. I watched Jake go up and down the highway, up and down the highway, up and down the highway, raising their babies and marriage and all that. Did you have me thank God? Passed the test. Big test. Passed the big test. Have me thank God.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Have you thank God? This Thanksgiving. Here's the last one. First Corinthians 15. Here's Paul thanking God. I like this. I have to read it straight out of the Bible. That old great funeral text. Something to thank God about. Victory. You know, you ought to be sitting here right now thanking God. Come with me. Somebody can come in here right now. Shoot it all up. Guess what? Got the victory. Out in front of the body, present with the Lord. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Amen.
None of us guaranteed to be here next Thanksgiving. We live like we like to next Thanksgiving. This may be the last opportunity to have a Christmas party at the church.
Uh-huh.
We just take everything for granted.
Amen.
Well, I don't want to do it next year. Okay. You got it like that. Here's Paul. He said, behold, pay attention. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. We shall all be changed. Saved and unsaved. Okay? But he said, in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump, for the trump shall sound. It's going to sound.
Amen.
Okay? And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Amen.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Okay? Stay with me. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?
Mm-hmm.
See, you gotta know this stuff. I always tell people, you gotta know this stuff. Death doesn't have victory over the believer.
Amen.
Death doesn't have the victory over one who has worshipped the Lord and has been born again. Death don't have the victory.
Amen.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Where's it at? Paul's challenging death. And we can too. We can confront it because we got the power. We got the power of God in us.
Amen.
And we are assured that we're going to spend eternity with heaven, in heaven with our Savior. Amen. And we can get in death's face and say, I'm not worried about dying. Because death has no victory. He said, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. Here's Paul giving thanks. Here's Paul, verse 57. Knowing he was going to die a martyr. Knowing he was going to be his head chopped off or sawed in half. Paul knew. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen to me. All of us in here got some folks. We're going to see at Thanksgiving time. This old, this sickly. You know what we need to talk to them about? The victory. The victory. You can sit here and say, Uncle Joe, Grandma, do you have the victory? We scared. Because we don't want to get our head chopped off. Okay? We look at that turkey and we see how they carve it all up and we see ourselves as that turkey. If we mention anything about Jesus to our godless loved ones, we're going to get that carving. You see them carving it, bring out the carving knife and carve the breasts and carve the legs. And we see ourselves. If I say anything to these people, they're going to carve me up like that turkey. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's Paul saying? How do we get this victory? Pastor, how do we get this victory? Paul just declared it. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you mean? Y'all know what I mean. I know this is elementary. Believing in his name. Believing in what he did at Calvary. Believing that he was born of a virgin. That he died for our sins. And that he was buried and rose again. And that's how we get the victory. How do we get the victory? That's how do you get the victory. Auntie, how do we get the victory? By accepting what Jesus done at Calvary. How do I accept what Jesus done at Calvary? You have to ask God to give me the faith to believe.
Amen.
Give me the faith to stop saying no, because I know it's true. But I understand the demands. It's going to cost me a lot. But give me the faith to be able to give up some stuff. Give me the strength to walk worthy. Give me the strength to cry out, Jesus, save me. Oh, wretched man that I am. And some of y'all know y'all got some wretched folks in y'all's families. Singing the song. They're going to sing the song to you this year too. Oh man, sister, so we going through, we getting a divorce. You know they drinking, they smoking dope, and you know, you run to your nephews and they getting high and they smoking and they drinking. And you know there's no victory in that. And we don't say nothing. We just let them go on, just give them something. You don't know. Give them some power. Tell them what they need. Tell them they need the word of God. I got some Bibles in my office. You need a Bible to give somebody this holiday season? Give them some Bibles out. Yeah. When last time you gave somebody a Bible for Christmas? Remember back in the day? You get some stuff you didn't want? Socks, some underwear? Give somebody a Bible. Wrap it up, give them a Bible. We don't think like that. Buy him a lighter or something. Nice electronic lighter. Well, Thanksgiving.
What are you thankful for? Let me sum it up. Thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for God saving my soul. I'm thankful for God delivering me. I'm thankful for God delivering me. Oh, wretched man that I am. God save me. God deliver me. God. I thank God that I'm filled with the grace of God. I used to be full of something else. I'm thankful that I have a church to go to and fellowship with. A church that shows up. A pastor that shows up on Sunday, shows up on Wednesday. I got a place where I can go and learn the things of God. I have some people that I laugh with and cry with. I thank God for enabling me and giving me strength to deal with all that life throws at you. Someone said, you either in trouble, head for trouble, or just getting out. And you need God's strength. Then lastly, I thank God for the victory. Come what may. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for salvation, deliverance, victory, power, strength, grace, mercy, courage, wisdom, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance. Boy, you've been so good to us.
Amen.
You've done so much to try to prepare us for all the trials and tribulations that come. And then, Father God, we ask right now for strength to share with those who we will come in contact with this holiday season, that are struggling, that are going through, that we know without a shadow of a doubt that they need grace and mercy. They need your peace. They need you as their Savior and Lord. Father God, give us the courage to confront a lost world. Even when that world is within our own little world. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.